said, amen, amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Are you hungry for the word here tonight?
Yes.
Well, then that'll matter. Amen. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And I've got some things on my heart to share with you. And I just trust you're going to help, because your faith plays a part in the service. Amen. God's got a plan and purpose for every service. But hey, the woman with the issue of blood, he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. It wasn't because I'm the Son of God as Jesus. Your faith in how you showed up is what made you whole. Because Jesus perceived that power or virtue had left out of his body. And he said, who touched me? The disciples said, everybody touched you. He said, somebody touched me. The one that showed up with faith. So whenever you have a visitation like we have right now, if you show up in faith, amen, the Lord will meet you there. He honors faith. He's not a respecter of persons. He is a respecter of faith.
Yes.
Stop Jesus in his tracks with that woman with the issue of blood. Amen. So I just trust we're going to have a good service tonight, because the word of God is good. And if you just let me preach to myself, amen, that's the way I always say, you know, I do my part to study and to read and to pray, and I get a leading. But hey, this is for me. You know, this is, if I could just preach to myself tonight, I know that it's going to be a blessing. Amen. You know, it's funny. I remember, praise God for Reverend Tony and the worship that we have. And thank you guys for stepping up and being a blessing and supply for that. Amen. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. And there was a number of years ago that there was a minister that actually, this was probably 20 years ago. And praise God. I mean, His heart's right, and I know this individual to this day. I'm not attacking them or anything, but you know, they would have some Holy Ghost, you know, music that would sometimes come up, and it was kind of funny because this song was similar to some of the Christian, well, probably half the Christian music that maybe you'd hear on the radio and stuff right now. But he used to say, and it was like this thing that he came up with, and he would be like, God can do anything, anything and everything. God could do anything but fail. And I'm like, that's just straight cheese. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, okay. And so you get what he was saying. God can do anything, anything and everything. God can do anything but fail. What about lie? Oh, well, God can do anything, anything and everything. God can do anything but fail and lie. Well, what about cheat? God can do anything, anything and everything. What about make people come to church? What about make people tithe? What about keeping people from slapping the person in front of them when they're upset with them? You start singing that, you're like, man, God can't do anything. Not apart from you cooperating with him. And there's that tendency sometimes, and sometimes you hear like different songs and, you know, Jesus is the builder and the wrecking ball, and God's building you up to knock you down, and God's in control of everything. No, he's not. He's in control of a submitted, born-again believer doing his will. But if you think God is in control of this world, he is doing a very terrible job. We have more sin than we've ever had. We've had more hate and crime than he's ever had. Well, God's sovereign. He can do anything. Yes, God is sovereign. But God cannot override the wills of humanity. Otherwise, we would all be born again and we'd be off this rock in heaven right now with him, because we would all be born again. And I understand, yes, I'm not attacking music to say, hey, God's in control of everything and God can do anything. Yes, I get it. There's nothing that can stop Almighty God. But you have to understand that everything was accomplished through Jesus Christ on the cross. And we're here standing in what's already been done. We're not trying to have God make something on our behalf for a provision or supply that was already paid through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're here to occupy and to enforce through the authority that he's given to us to make change in this world. So God is in control, yes, of one who is submitted and says, Father, no longer my will, but your will be done. And because I've submitted, now we can start taking ground. Now we can start taking land. Amen. So I was thinking about that today, because there's a little misconceptions sometimes, because sometimes we get into this mindset that we're just going to sit back and wait for God to do something. And then as soon as we know what he's going to do, then we're going to jump on board and do it. But how many know that your faith without works is dead? And your actions have to be motivated by the word of God to start taking ground, not only in your life, but here on earth. You have to use the authority that he's been given to us and gave through us, through Jesus Christ, and start taking ground on that. And I want to talk about some things tonight, and I just trust it'll be a blessing to you, because Jesus had to deal with some of these things. And if it's okay to talk about Jesus in church, that's just what I'd like to do tonight. If that's okay with you guys, we'll just talk about Jesus. I think he's a good example, amen? But if you wouldn't mind turning with me to Luke chapter 4, I want to show you some things that I just absolutely love. And where we're picking this up in the start of chapter 4, you remember that Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness 40 days, 40 nights of the devil. He fasted. He was hungry. The devil approached him and tempted him. And he quoted the word of God when the devil had approached him, and he was victorious, obviously, over that. Jesus was the Son of God, absolutely, but he was all man and all flesh too, born of a woman through Mary into this earth. And so every single temptation, it says that he was tempted as every man, yet without sin. He was tempted in every way through any temptation that would come against us, yet never sinned. He was victorious in that. And so the tail end of this, because we're going to read some verses here, in verse 14, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." And I love that he returned in the power of the Holy Ghost, in the power of the Spirit. It was looking like he was failing. It was looking like he was being beaten down. It was looking like he wasn't gaining ground because of his fragile state. But little did the devil know that he was going to return in the power of the Holy Ghost, knowing fully that when he was weak, he was strong. Because I have no option than to yield myself more fully and dramatically to the Holy Ghost. If I could do it in my flesh, I'll do it in my flesh. That comes easy to me. But when I'm depleted of all natural and I have no choice but to rely on the arm of the Holy Ghost, then you become a powerhouse. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. I've tried myself and fall short time and time and time again. Jesus was in a weakened, fastened, physical state, being tempted and beaten and pounded through temptation of everything that you and I would deal with. And it says that he returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned different than when he went in. He returned different after 40 days of fellowship with the Holy Ghost. So I want to read a couple verses here in verse 16. And it says, "He came to Nazareth, where he was born." This is his hometown. I'm going to read through here, and then I want to go back, so just bear with me. "He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." Let me just pause right there for a second. I'm just going to interject this. Jesus served in his local church. Because it says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. This was his custom, and he stood up for to read. His custom was to go to church, and then he served in the church because he stood up for to read in the church. Jesus served in his local church in Nazareth. Just saying. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bore witness and wondered the gracious words what proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day when Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city in Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. And if I could put a title on the sermon, on this the sermon right here, that some of us, including myself, need to go your way. I'm saying that not so anyone gets up and leaves the church, but listen to me on this. Some of us, including myself, allow me to preach to myself here tonight, you need to go your way. So Jesus was in Nazareth, his hometown. And he stood up for to read, and he got out the scripture, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He reads out of the scripture, and it says that after he read, he closed the book, and he sat down. And it said that all of their eyes were fastened on him. Now, why were they fastened on him per se? Well, in this passage, I heard a minister one time, Dr. Ed Dufresne, say this, and I haven't studied the in-depth of his understanding. I'm taking his word for it, and I don't see this in this scripture, so hear me out in this. In Nazareth, they were anticipating the Messiah. And so, just like we would have the sanctuary right here, and we would have a platform and different things, at this particular time, they had a seat that was for the coming Messiah, the coming Savior that was in the temple. So when Jesus stood up, he read this, he closed the book, and he went over to the seat of the Messiah, and he sat down in it. Possibly one of the biggest mic drops in the Bible. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty those that are captive, restoring sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book and sat down. Sat down. First thing that they said, isn't this Joseph's son? Nope. Nope. Isn't this Joseph's son? Yes, it is Joseph's son. But if you're so shallow to not recognize the Messiah, isn't this Joseph's son? Yes, it was Joseph's son. But first and foremost, this was the Son of the Most High God that returned in a place of power to enter his earthly minister as God the Father here on earth as flesh. And so he says, I'm here to preach the gospel to the poor. I'm anointed for this. He closed the book and sat down. Hey, isn't this Joseph's son? Nope, that's not my highest purpose. The means by which my feet arrive me here right now, don't judge me based on my past, based on my education, based on my lack of integrity that once was. I'm here as the Son of the living God to fulfill my purpose. And he sat down. He said to them, you say to yourself, physician, heal yourself. Because Nazareth was the ghetto. Nazareth was the ghetto. And I will show you this. Physician, heal yourself. He says, a prophet's not without honor, save in his own town. Like, yeah, I come in because familiar. It'd be more comfortable for you if I just read like I normally did and went and sat amongst my family. But something changed. I have a higher purpose and destiny that I've been living these last 30 years. And I'm not here to consult with your ignorance based on what I've known for the last 30 years, that my highest and best call is because I am the Son of the Most High God. I'm not here to bicker and debate on your lack of understanding. I have a higher purpose that is set before me that I need to fulfill for the sake of you, which are criticizing me. Yeah. And they said, this is blasphemy. Let's take him out and kill him. Why would he say that? And it says, him passing through went his way. I'm not camping out to debate that I'm the Son of God when I know these things. Yeah. I'm not here to debate with you because you somehow think and try to corner me into a past understanding of where I came from and judge me by that. Physician, heal yourself. Heal yourself, you hypocrite. Heal yourself, you tatted up, pierced up. Heal yourself, you drug dealer, alcoholic, slum dog, whoremonger, whatever you came from. Heal yourself. Jesus went his way, walked right through the crowd, and some of us, you cannot get preoccupied with your past and the misunderstanding that your highest and best call is that you are a born-again child of God and the greater ones on the inside of you. And we live according to that, not according to the labels that those that are familiar, that don't know what's happened to you, try to put on you. Jesus says, this is my family. This is my town. I'm going my way. I'm pressing. They wanted to kill me all of a sudden. If ever I was looking for some accolade other than the carpenter that they know, it'd be amongst my own friends and family. Oh, man, come on. Jesus went his way because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. When Jesus comes on the inside of you, you're no longer the drug dealer. You're no longer the alcoholic. You're no longer the porn addicted. You're the one that has the gift and calling of the Most High, the one that was dead and now is alive, the one that has become a new creation in Christ Jesus because old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're new now. Don't debate with your past that tries to corner you and keep you in that sedentary position. You need to go your way. You need to go your way. Turn with me over there to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Listen to, and this is what I'm getting at and what I was going to specify. There was the calling of the disciples. You remember Philip and Nathanael. In John chapter 1, they come on board. And Jesus, in verse 43, went to Philip. He said, follow me. Nathanael, he saw him away off under a fig tree. And so Philip went to Nathanael and he says, hey, we found the Messiah. He came from Nazareth. He's like, he came from the ghetto? Yeah. Well, how do you know that? Because verse 46, Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. And Jesus proved to him. But that was the reputation of Jesus coming from Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Why? That's the other side of the tracks. That's not a place of economic prosperity. That's not a place of upper class. That's not the suburbs or a good neighborhood. That's them. That's Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Come and see. Come and see the diamond in the rough. Come and see what came out of Nazareth. Come to see what God the Father used to bring forth his Son. So we pick this up. Jesus has his disciples, and they go into the very first miracle in chapter 2, and look at, starting in verse 1, in the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, Mary was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, their mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he said unto you, do it." And there was set 6 water pots. And for the sake of time, you remember that there were 6 water pots, a firkin. It's like 20, 30 gallons. He tells his disciples, "Go fill those." They filled them up. They drew from it. They took it to the governor of the wedding. He says, "You save the best wine for now? That's supposed to be the best, you know, comes out first. Why are you saving the best for now?" And that was the first miracle, signs and wonders in verse 11 that Jesus, it says, from that point on began to do signs and wonders. This was the first miraculous thing that Jesus ever did. So here he is invited. He has his disciples. He has Nathanael. He has Philip. He has the other disciples that were invited to this feast. And his mother comes before him. And she says, "Jesus, they have no wine." He says, "Woman, what have you to do with me? Why would you ask this before the time?" His mother, the most intimate bond mother with son through birth, naturally. "Jesus, they have no wine. Why are you saying this? Why are you approaching me this?" "Because I know you. They don't." They don't know you as the Son of God. They know you as Jesus of Nazareth. "Hey, disciples, whatever he says, do it." I'm telling you here tonight, whatever he says, do it. Whatever he says, do it. Because though it's been 30 years, I've always known from the time of conception that you are the Son of God. So I'm instructing those that are following you of what I know. You are no longer only my natural birth son. You are the Son of the Most High God. Whatever he says to do, from this point on, do it. Because it says in verse 11 that this was the first sign. Let me read it. It says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." This was the beginning of miracles in Jesus. The mother of Jesus has known something for the last 30 years that she would approach her only son, now the Son of God, and says, "The familiar bond that you and I have right now, I now recognize you in your highest destiny and purpose as the Son of God. The familiar that we have doesn't negate the place in my heart, but whatever he says, do it. Now is the time where you manifest what I've known for the last 30 years. Now is the time of your ministry. Now is the time to go your way." People wonder that. "Woman," the Amplified in that says, "Dear woman," in verse 4, Jesus said to her, "Dear woman, what is that to you and to me? What do we have in common? Leave it to me. My time, hour to act, has not yet come. I've known this. And as your mother, I am putting a demand." Could be one of the hardest things that his mom has ever done. "The Jesus that I grew up with, the Jesus that I raised, the Jesus that I was entrusted with, now I'm having to turn over. Woman, it's not my time yet. It's not my time." Hey, y'all, whatever he says, you do it. It is his time. It is his time. Your disciples are here, and time is for ministry. You are no longer the carpenter from Nazareth, the ghetto. You are now to fulfill your highest purpose here on earth as the Son of the living God. Woman, what have you to do with me? Why are you approaching me like this? Mom, it's just revelation coming to me right now. Mom, I've never seen you like this. You've never approached me like this in front of all these people. Yes, but what I know is that you are the Son of God. Whatever he says, everybody, do it. Oh. You have to break into the divine. There has a time where your past upbringing, your past mistakes and failures, your past circumstance and trials cannot hold you back from fulfilling the plan of God for your life. And it's a decision that every one of us had to make. Jesus had to make that decision to walk fully in what he was called to do, and thank God that he did, so that we could be born again. We'd all be in hell. We'd all be going to hell. I want to show you something over there in Matthew chapter 14. Jesus had to embrace his destiny as the Son of God. In Matthew chapter 14, I want to show you something here. You remember when Jesus walked on the water. And I want to pick up this story because we need to learn from some of these things. In verse 22, in Matthew chapter 14, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. And it says it was tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Jesus, let's stop right there. Jesus sent them away. He sent the crowds away, the multitudes. He told his disciples, get into the ship, go to the other side. He went to a place of fellowship with his Father. He started walking in and fulfilling his highest and best call as the Son of God, but it required constant fellowship. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. Well, that comes through fellowship. He wasn't guessing in doing those things. So Jesus sent them up as he was fellowshipping, and in the middle of the night, after hours of Jesus spending time with his heavenly Father, he went walking to them in the sea. And I like how this transpires, because immediately they were afraid. They saw Jesus coming, and they said, it's a ghost. And Jesus said, it is I, be not afraid. So they saw Jesus coming, and when they recognized him, he was no longer the carpenter. He was no longer the Jesus of Nazareth. He was no longer Joseph's son. And he says something very interesting, because he says, for it is I. But if you look this up in the Amplified, it's interesting what it talks about. But instantly he spoke to them, saying, take courage, I am. Stop being afraid. He came down out of that mountain and he said, I am. You have to know something about I am. And I'm going to, you don't have to turn there. But over there in Exodus chapter 3, you know about the great I am. You know when Moses went into Pharaoh's house to bring out the Israelites. And so in Exodus chapter 3, you don't have to turn there. Maybe we can bring it up. In verse 13 and 14, if you can bring it up on the overhead. And it says, this is a legitimate question. Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto your children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, what's his name? What shall I say to them?" And God said unto him, "I am that I am." And if you bring that up in the Amplified for me, I want to show you what it says. He says, "And God said to Moses, I am who I am and what I am. I will be what I will be. And he said, you shall say this to the Israelites, I am has set you." He says, "I am who I am and what I am, and I will be what I want, what I will be." He was saying that I am what I am and who I am, and I will be what I will be. You all are the Johnny come latelys on this earth. I was before time ever existed to put time into place. Before any devil, before any demon, I am who I am, and I will be who I will be. I created all of this. I created the creation, the stars and the skies and the galaxies, the land, the simple things that he told Job. "Job, how does the water meet the land right where it does? How does the sky meet the land right where it does?" Those are easy things. I am who I am, and I will be who I will be. You got a problem with that, you tell them that I am sent you. I don't have, it's the same thing. I'm not consulting with your ignorance. These are my people, and I say that they are leaving. That's it. That's it. I am who I am, and I will be what I will be. Nothing can stop that. Nothing can stop the foundation of authority from God the Father. You all are created beings. And if I say something, it will happen, and it will be, because I am who I am and what I am. Jesus comes walking on the water. "It's a ghost, it's a ghost." "I am." Not, "I'm Joseph's son." "Hey, it's Jesus, Joseph's son." He stood before them and he said, "I am. I am. I am superseding natural laws right now by walking on this water." Peter says, "If that is truly you, bid me come on the water. Come." Peter gets out, starts walking. And then all of a sudden, through the lack of faith, the fisher of men became the fisherman again and relying on his own natural understanding. He relied on his past knowledge of education. He relied on the arm of the flesh that says when the waves are crashing like this, gravity takes over. We don't float real well. We're sinking. The I am said to come. Peter started walking. He said, wait a second. I'm a fisherman. I know how this all goes down. And he began to sink. Jesus said, "Where's your faith? Where's your faith?" There has to be faith's bridge breaking you from the realm of the ordinary into the supernatural. Jesus showed up and said, "I am." And at the spoken word to Peter, "Come." You start walking, and if not, it's a lack of faith. Peter, I applaud. You say you're the I am. Bid me come. Come. I'm not withholding the supernatural from you. Your lack of faith is withholding the supernatural. Yeah, that's right. You're no longer the fisherman, you're the fisher of men. You're the rock in which I will build my church. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. You remember, he spoke that to Peter. Peter, come. I am has just come into your midst. And Peter piggybacked the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Not Joseph's son. Not Joseph's son. Not the ghetto Nazareth Jesus. The one that embraced his position as the Son of the Most High God. That when he showed up, I am. And they understood, I am what I am and who I am, and I will do what I will do. If this wave that's been keeping you held back for this long needs to solidify so I can walk all over it, I will. I will do that. You know, there's that verse where, you know, Jesus says, these works shall you do, and greater works shall you do. If you break that down in the Greek, there's a rendering that I like that says, these works you'll do, greater works. If I don't have it, I'll make it for you. If I don't have it, I'll make it for you. In other words, this plan that I've placed in your life and that calling on your life and the born-again life nature on the inside of you, it will see you through because the great I am puts his name at stake on you fulfilling that. Peter says, if you are truly the I am and you do whatever you want and I'm watching you because I'm thinking you're a ghost walking, tell me to do it. Come. This invitation is open unto you. Come, Peter. He says, Peter, why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? Because you went back to what you were. You stepped into a realm of unfamiliarness because you had to step out in a place of faith, and it is not comfortable on your flesh. It's not comfortable to step out when you don't know, hey, a million times I've been out on the water, I've always sank when I hit the water. Now you're telling me, so this is something new for me. I do not know this. I'm not educated this. Jesus is like, I am is here with you. That's all you need to know. Come on out. He started to sink, and it said that Jesus in the Amplified, when he grabbed him, he held him. You can read that in the Amplified. I have both the parallel Bible, so I got the King James and the Amplified. It says that he grabbed him and held him. He's like, Peter, why do you doubt? Where's your faith in this? Because Peter moved and walked into the supernatural. He didn't let the familiar keep him in the boat. Oh, come on. So that's Peter, amen? Praise God. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, all movement that we have is in him. Acts chapter 17, and this is me, you know, this is where we're not called to be stagnant. We're not called to be stationary. In verse Acts 17, 28, it says, for in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move. All movement is through him. In him we live and move and have our being. We are alive in him and we move in him. We're not called to squat. We're not called to stay still. We're not called to, hey, sometimes we're called to stand, praise God. But we're called to move in him, and movement should be in him and have our being. Now, if you look up that word move, you know what that means in the Greek? Stir. Oh, man. You got to stir, and you know what we're going. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. You got to stir these things up. Why? Because we are path of least resistance people. Who wants to be pounded and, you know, resisted by waves like they were? Who wants to be tested and tried of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness? Who doesn't want relief? You know what I mean? Who doesn't want to back out of these things? You know, we don't want those things. We want to be stationary and find a comfortable nook, but we're moving in him. We're moving in him. And so we got to stir some of those things up. You know, like a bottle of, Italian salad dressing. You got oil and vinegar. They do not mix. But if you give it a stir, if you get it a shake, all of a sudden that turns into something. You know what I mean? Because you have to stir those things up to get full movement of those things. Don't just have the oil by itself unless you're into that kind of stuff, or just have the vinegar by itself, or the water's good to drink, amen, but not on a salad. You know what I'm getting at. But when you stir it up and mix it up, then you got the fullness of that mixture. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience and without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I might be filled with joy. When I can call in remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. He says, you've got to take the good part of what was deposited in you in the work of the ministry by the laying on of my hands. You need to stir that up to bring it to the forefront. Just like Jesus came to the defining moment where he said, I am anointed, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's saying, Timothy, you're going to be a coward, you're going to be a weakling, you're going to be a nobody unless you stir up the faith in the gift of God that's on the inside of you. I recognized it in your grandmother. I recognized it in your mother. Now it is your turn. Now it is your turn. Like Jesus, 30 years up to this point, you've always been the Son of God, but you've been Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. Now's your time to fulfill the ministry that's calling your life. Same thing with Timothy. I've seen your elders, and even though you're not of natural age, like one that's been seasoned maybe in ministry, that doesn't negate what's on the inside of you. And in order for you to fulfill God's plan in your life, like Jesus fulfilled his highest purpose, there's going to take one thing. You're going to have to stir that up. You're going to have to stir that up so that when the accusation comes against you telling you that you're not good enough, you're not old enough, you're not seasoned enough, you're not educated enough, you have something to stand on. Because if you're not stirred, you're going to sink like Peter did. It's going to require your stirring faith on a consistent basis to take the word of God and begin to speak it out of your mouth so that when Jesus comes up and he says, I am, wait a second. No one doubted that he was Joseph's son that night. He was in a place of fellowship, stirring himself up through prayer and fellowship with the Heavenly Father, knowing full well the Word of God being the Word of God. And so he walked in the supernatural, stirred in the fellowship. And it's the same thing with you. Paul's saying, I saw it in your grandmother. I saw it in your mother. Now you, I'm not asking your ID. I know you're young. I know your young age. That doesn't negate what's on the inside of you, and you have to take upon yourself the responsibility to stir that up, because you are a steward of the gift that's placed on the inside of you. Jesus had to do that. Jesus had to overcome the temptation, if you will. 30 years because of Jewish law, he was as much the Son of God when he was born as he was when he walked into the ministry until the appropriate time according to the Jewish law to be able to minister. So he had to embrace it and occupy it and receive it and move into it, that he was walking on water, that he came up and stood in the position he said, I am. Who told you that? I've discovered what the Father has placed on the inside of me. And as much as I am the Father, I am the Son. And the great I am is here right now. I'll do what I'll do. I'll walk on water. I'll heal the sick. I will cleanse the lepers. I will restore blind eyes. I will preach the gospel to the poor. I will do those things because I'm embracing my highest purpose. Stir it up. Stir it up. In him we live and move and have our being. We're not stagnant. We're not just waiting for something to happen. We're not waiting for God to do something. He's already done something. Everything that's on the inside of you, stir that up. Stir that up till you recognize by your faith stance that you're a water walker. Till you come to understanding, it's stirred up until you are walking in that. Jesus said, Peter, where's your faith? You were just walking on water when you got out of the boat. What happened? Well, I realized that they called me a loser, and so they might, you know, might be something to it. Yeah, I didn't go to seminary, and, you know, I didn't go to, you know, some kind of private education places and stuff, so I don't know if I can, you know, be equipped enough to do this job or do this task. Where's your faith, Peter? Where's your faith? Because that's not what I put on the inside of you. That's not what I put on the inside of you. Stir it up so that you can see what I put on the inside of you. Stir it up so you can see. Oh, man, I don't know if you're help here tonight. I'm telling you what, we have to break out of our stationary positions. And I'll tell you what, it's not, well, you know what? I've been born again for 50 years. Big deal. Big deal. Today's the day. You've been called for this time right now. Well, you know, I go to church and stuff, but man, I'm not one to stand up behind a pulpit, or I'm not one really given to prayer. Doesn't matter. Whatever you're called to do, spend time in fellowship with the Lord till you know. Stir those things up till you embrace by faith what he's put on the inside of you. We're moving. I'm telling you what, the days and times right now are drawing nigh to the return of the Lord. We all have work to do. Well, it's not my personality. I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you if it was your personality. Well, I'm not 20 years old anymore. I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you that. I'm asking, whatever God's put on the inside of you is your responsibility to stir that up and start walking on water. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you're help here tonight. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. Father, we thank you that Jesus is our ultimate example in embracing his destiny, that he wasn't the carpenter. He wasn't not only Joseph's son naturally, but he overcame opposition to fulfill salvation for all mankind. And Father, Lord, we thank you that you've entrusted us to walk this earth at this time with the gift of salvation and the ministry of reconciliation. That Father, we can stir ourselves, not defined by our past mistakes, our failures, and our shortcomings, but defined only by the greater one that's on the inside of us. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege to walk as an ambassador and children of yours. And so, Father, we take upon ourselves the responsibility to stir these things up, for we know that in you we live and move and we have our being. We give you the praise for it, in Jesus' name. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, still in an attitude of prayer, maybe you're here, and I don't know everybody in here, but maybe you're here tonight, and you're like, man, that was, you know, I never maybe even heard a sermon like that before. But maybe you need to know what the first step is with God, and it's simply to accept Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. We were just reading on Jesus. His highest purpose was to die for all mankind, to pay the eternal price for sin, so that you wouldn't have to be separated from God the Father. You say, well, what is that, and how do I do that? Well, the Bible is very simple and clear. In Romans 10:9, that says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means anybody that accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior by accepting Him. And maybe you're here and you've never done that before. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. I promise you, I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to call anyone up or make you stand up or anything like that. But if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord, why would you not want to receive Him? If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus and you want to do that, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. We'll all pray together and you can accept Jesus right there in your seat. Is there anybody here that needs to accept Jesus that never has? I want to pray with you. Can I just see your hand? Is there anybody here that's never made Jesus the Lord of their life? Praise the Lord. Father, I don't see any hands, so I just trust that we're all born again. I trust that, Father, this is a check, Father, even for myself. That, Father, no more coddling and being stationary. No more path of least resistance. No more staying in a stalled position. That, Father, we thank you for the gift that you've given to us through Jesus. And so, Father, we stir ourselves up to move forward, that we can fulfill your plans, your purpose, and your will here on earth. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet before we dismiss? Let's just love on him for a minute and give him some praise. Father, we thank you. We glorify you. We worship and honor you. All the glory, Father. We bless you. We thank you. We leave changed here today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.